Okay, so next week we're going to gather together and we're going to read Megillas Esther, a story that we all know very well from when we're young, a story that shows B'nai Israel's triumph over our enemies, a story that we can learn to see Hashem's hidden hands in the world, and where there's a lot of messages that we can learn and a lot of things that we can learn on many levels. There's a lot in there to gain. But you know, when we read through the Megillah, it's very interesting to note that there's a lot of talk in the Megillah about clothing. Right, we start off at the beginning, we have Ahasuerus, he's making this grand party, and according to Chazal, he didn't just, you know, get dressed up in fine clothing for the party, but actually Ahasuerus came to the party wearing the big zekahuna. He wore the clothing of the Kohen Gadol. Then we know at this party, he asks Vashti to come before him, actually Chazal tells us wearing nothing, no clothing at all. He wanted Vashti to come to the party naked. And then we continue on in our story, and there's even more discussion about clothing. Haman's asked by Ahasuerus, you know, what, Haman, what would you like to do? What's your idea of doing something to honor, to do something for a person that the king wants to honor? And Haman could actually pick anything under the sun, but what does Haman respond? Clothing, of course, right? You gotta dress him in the king's clothing, you have to put a crown on his head, the king's crown, and you have to, you know, take him around on the king's horse. Basically, you gotta give this guy a total makeover, right? That's the thing. If you could wish on a genie, what would you want? This is what Haman responds. And then we continue further in our story, and we have Esther, and she's preparing to go before Ahasuerus. She's putting her life on the line. You know, she has to go to ask Ahasuerus to save her people. And the Megillah records her preparations. And what is the Megillah, right? Vatelbash Esther Malchus. That Esther donned royalty. She wore royalty. And finally, we're at the climax of the Megillah. The ultimate high point, right? B'nai Yisrael are saved. The Jews are able to fight back and defend themselves. Haman is hung on a tree and Mordechai is elevated. And we get to the point and the whole shul is going to read a pasuk out loud together. And what is that pasuk? U'Mordechai yatsa milifnei ha-melech. Bilvush Malchus, Tcheles, Vechor, Vaateres, Zahav, Gdola, Vadachrich, Butz, Vargaman, Vair, Shushan, Sala, Vasamecha. And Mordechai goes out in royal clothing. It's made of blue and it's made of white with a big golden crown and a wrap of linen and purple. Right? This beautiful, intricate detail about the beautiful clothing that Mordechai is wearing. And the city of Shushan rejoices. This is the what we're going to read out loud. This is the pasuk that we choose. This is the high point in the Megillah. Mordechai's clothing. Why is there so much talk and emphasis on clothing in the Megillah? And what role does it play in our struggle with Haman and our struggle with Amalek? So it's not only the recurring image of clothing in the Megillah that we have to understand, but B'nai Yisrael are actually referred to themselves in a number of places in Yeshayahu as the clothing of Tzion, of Yerushalayim. In Yeshayahu, Parak Mem Tes, Pasuk Yudalet through Yotet, it says, Si'i saviv einayach, or i kulam nikvitzu ba'ulach, ki kulam ka'adi talbishi, fatakshirim kikala. Raise your eyes around and see, they have all gathered and come to you, and you will clothe yourself with them all, and adorn yourself like a bride. And then in another place, in Parak Nun Beis, Pasuk Aleph, a similar concept, Uri, Uri, Livshi Uzech Tzion, Livshi Bigdei Tefartech Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. Awaken, awaken, don your strength, O Zion, don your garments of splendor, O Jerusalem, Holy City. And the imagery is always to this clothing of splendor, the big day teferis, ones that you adorn yourself with, special clothing for a bride, clothing of strength, clothing of righteousness. The Malbim explains that there are levushim regilim, what he calls his regular clothing, you know, like a desolate land. And what's the clothing of the desolate land? It has some grass, it has some animals, perhaps some simple people. And once the land is inhabited and more people come, people that are honored, important people, it adds to the beauty to the clothing. It becomes more dignified. But the expression of takshirim kikala hints to an even greater importance than just regular clothing of splendor. And he writes, Kimo shehakala shomerek kishureha shehu ha'eid shenatan lahachatan al yadal l'shem kiddushin. Just like a bride, she watches over, she guards her her jewelry, her that the chassan gave her, which is, you know, for the kiddushin, for the marriage, so that she shouldn't lose it. This is the sign that they're betrothed, that there's something going on between the two of them. Similarly, Tzion, Yerushalayim, adorns herself of who? Of Bnei Yisrael. So that we should not go leave Tzion again, that we should not leave Yerushalayim again. Why? Because Bnei Yisrael are the oath. They are the sign that there is a relationship between the city and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Bnei Yisrael are this beautiful jewelry. We are the sign of the marriage between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael. We are that special, beautiful ring that the Kala watches over so she shouldn't lose it, because it symbolizes a deep connection and a love. Similarly, Bnei Yisrael are that ring, are that representation of the connection between the city of Yerushalayim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I think in order to better understand the role of clothing in the Purim story, as well as this mashal of Bnei Yisrael being Yerushalayim's glorious clothing, we have to understand what clothing is. And I think a lot of us, you know, have these conflicting feelings inside about clothing. On the one hand, we care very much about putting ourselves together, putting our best foot forward, picking out the right outfit, or what goes with what. And on the other hand, deep down, we may question the amount of time or the importance we put into getting that right outfit or the clothing. Or is it really so important to put all this time and effort into the clothing? And I think similarly in Judaism, we have an emphasis on certain concepts of dress. Whether it's Big Day Shabbos, you have to have special clothing for Shabbos, or the special clothing that Kohen is required to wear. We have special clothing that we have to wear, like tzitzis, if you're wearing a four-cornered garment, as well as there are certain restrictions in the way we dress, whether it's shatness or certain rules of modesty, of tznius, etc. So there again is this, you know, conflicting role of importance and on the other hand, restriction. So I think in order to really understand the perspective, the Torah's perspective on clothing, we have to go back to the beginning. We start in the beginning in Bereishis, in Perek Beis, in Pasuk Chafei, and the Pasuk tells us, V'hayu shneihem arumim ha'adam v'ishto v'lo yitzboshishu. We go back to the beginning of time, to the beginning of creation, when Hashem created Adam and Chava, and we have man and his wife. They were naked, but the Torah tells us, lo yitzboshishu. They were not ashamed. And then the story continues in Pasuk Paragimel, Pasuk Vav, V'teira ha'isha ki tov ha'etz l'ma'achal, v'ki ta'avahu l'einayim, v'nechmar ha'etz l'haskil, v'tikach mirperyo v'tuchal, v'titin gam l'isha ima v'yochal. And what happens? Chava, the woman, she sees this tree, and it's, you know, something that she desires. It's not only beautiful to the eyes, but it's a delight to contemplate. And what does she do? She takes from its fruit, and she eats from it, and she also gives some to her husband. And all of a sudden, what happens? Pasuk Zayin, Fakachna einei shnehem vayedu ki arumim heim, vatifru alei teina vayasu lahem chagurot. And all of a sudden, their eyes are opened up, and they realize what? All of a sudden, they realize they're naked. And what do? They sew together these fig leaves, and they make for themselves some sort of aprons. And then Pasuk Chavalef, the story continues. Vayaat Hashem Elokim la'adam v'leishto ktonot or vayal bishem. And Hashem made for Adam and his wife garments of skins, and he clothed them. So according to the Malbim, before the sin, the body was basically a kli in order to do physical actions, right? I needed to do something, so I needed to get something. I needed it in the hands in order to extend to get it. I needed to get somewhere. I needed my legs to carry me there. But the physical body was just a means to get me to be able to do the things that I needed to do. So at that point, the body didn't need to be covered because there was no stira, there was no contradiction between the neshama, what the soul of man wanted, and the garb of the body, right? The neshama wanted to do a mitzvah, so the body went and followed suit, and it went to do the mitzvah. And so therefore, man was not embarrassed of his body. like we have with an animal, right? An animal doesn't need any clothing. Why does an animal need clothing? Because there's no difference between the animal soul and its body. The body is just a reflection of the animal soul. There's no difference between the two. But after the sin, what happens? The body goes after the physical. It becomes physical because why? It's following its own desires. And so therefore, we need the or, this leather covering, which now covers the or with an aleph, the light of the neshama. And the neshama, all of a sudden, what happens? It becomes embarrassed of the body. Because the body is not following what the neshama wants, but the body is following what its own desires are. And therefore, what does man do? He seeks to cover his nakedness, so that when people look at him, they shouldn't think that the body is what man is, but rather, there's something more there. There's the neshama elokit. There's the godliness inside. There's the neshama. There's the spirituality. And therefore, the neshama is embarrassed of the body going after what it wants, and therefore it seeks to cover it. The Arizal tells us that the or with an aleph, the light, the godliness, became or with an ayin, became leather, became skin. And Rav Hirsch tells us that since the clothing is given by the name Hashem Elokim, it also has a holy meaning in this dual fashion, in this double fashion, just like Hashem Elokim, it's with two names. Clothing educates, and I'm going to read from a Persian side, in the English translation, clothing educates man to return to his original stature. A, clothing covers the body's nakedness, thus warning man to rule over his body. And B, clothing affords protection under the elements of nature, thus reminding man that he has fallen from his former stature, which he has not yet returned. Man was created without a garment. The peacefulness of paradise prevailed between him and nature all around him. Now, however, he needs a garment, and this garment reminds him that as long as he must be ashamed of his body, he has not yet returned to the paradise, and the ground is still arura, it's cursed. The foregoing explains why Rav Meir called these garments, kotnot or, garments of light with an aleph, and why others called them priestly garments, like Bereishis Rabbah tells us, she'asalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu bigdei kahuna. The Yalkut Shmoni says that. That Hashem made for Adam these bigdei kahuna, these special garments, for the purpose of clothing is to enlighten us and to sanctify us like Kohanei Hashem, like priests of God. So we see that clothing has this dual purpose. It hides and yet it reveals. On the one hand, it covers the physical and it helps us harness and control it. Right? I'm not going to go after my body, my physical desires. I'm going to harness it. And on the other hand, it allows the inside to shine so that the outside is not a distraction. No, I'm not a body. I'm not just going after physical desires. There's something more to me. There is a neshama elokit. And it's based on this that we can better understand the purpose of the bigdei kahuna, the special garments that the kohanim were required to wear during their avodah in the mikdash. The bigdei kahuna also represent this dual purpose. On the one hand, a kohen who goes lifnai lifnin, a kohen who goes and does the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, he has to know how and to be able to rule over the physical desires. He can't go into the Beis HaMikdash if he's going after his body. He has to be able to harness that. And secondly, the clothing, these priestly garments, have to reflect the character that the kohen is meant to represent. It's supposed to reveal the inside. It's supposed to reveal that special character of, well, what does a kohen stand for? What is this type of person that's going into the mikdash and doing the avodah? And I think it's with this understanding that of clothing that we can look at the various instances in Tanakh with a new approach. I think we'll start with the story of Yosef. I think that's perhaps the most famous story in Tanakh with clothing. Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Gimel. V'Yisrael Ahav et Yosef mikol banav ki ben zekunim hulo v'yas lo ktona pasim. Yaakov had a special son. Yosef was ben zekunim. And so therefore, because he loved his son so much, he made for him this special ketonet pasim, this special garment of many colors, this beautiful, beautiful garment, right? And Rashi brings down there, the Medrash HaGadol, which says, what does this coat signify? What is this ketonet pasim? He says, actually, this coat that Yaakov Avinu gave to Yosef signified all of the tsaros, all of the misfortunes that would befall Yosef. He says, actually, pasim is an acronym for Potiphar, the Sochrim, the Yishmaelim, and the Midyanim. All of the bad things that were going to happen to Yosef, the story with Potiphar, you know, the Sochem, the Ishmaelim, the Minyanim, this whole back and forth of getting sold from hand to hand. That's what this coat signifies. Now, why would Yaakov give Yosef, his most beloved son, a coat which would signify all of the tsaros, all of the misfortune, all of the tragedy that was going to befall Yosef? It's because this coat was the tool to overcome the tsaros and the hardships that Yosef would endure. It's precisely through the koach of the beged, through harnessing the physical body and its desires, allowing his neshama to shine through, being true to his neshama, being true to who Yosef is and is supposed to be, that he can overcome the difficulties of Pasim, the difficulties of Potiphar, of the Sochrim, of the Yishma'elim, of the Midyanim. Just as Hashem gave Adam and Chava clothing as they left Gan Eden to help them survive, so too, Yaakov gave Yosef clothing to survive all of the hardships that would befall him. And what happens? Day after day, Eshes Potiphar would coax Yosef to be with her, right? To give in to his taiva, but to no avail. Every day, day in and day out. And finally, after many days, what does the pasuk tell us? Vatitpisehu bebigdav. Finally, Eshes Potiphar, She grabs onto his garment. She tries to grab onto Yosef's garment by his beged. What is she trying to do? She's trying to remove the control that he has over the body. You remember, ladies, the clothing symbolizes harnessing the physical body. And what is she trying to do? She's trying to get it to give into his desire. So she grabs onto his beged. She grabs onto that which is harnessing his body. And she tries to convince Yosef to go after his taivas, to get rid of this beged, to get rid of this restriction, and to give in to his desires. And what is it that saved Yosef? The Gemara in Sota tells us that Yosef saw the vision of his father Yaakov in the window. He saw Dikono Shel Aviv. And what was Yaakov saying to Yosef when he saw this vision of his father in the window? He said, Yosef, in the future, your brothers will have their names on the Choshen, on the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. Will your name be on it? Or will it be erased because of this nus? Will it be erased because you are going to have some sort of immoral relationship with this woman, with the wife of Potiphar? What was Yaakov doing? Yaakov was reminding Yosef of the Choshen, one of the big Zekuhuna. It was the lesson of the clothing that helped him exert the control over his physical body and overcome his tough nisoyon. He was saying to him, Yosef, do you want to get out of this? You got to remember the lesson of the beged. You have to harness your physical body, and then you, like your brothers, will have your place on the Choshen, on the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. It's interesting to note that when Yosef's brothers leave Eretz Yisrael and they come down to Mitzrayim, Yosef gives them clothing. The pasuk tells us, Perek Mem Hei, Pasuk Chav Beis, Lekulam Natan Leish Chalifot Simlot, that Yosef gave all of his brothers a change of clothing. Right? Simply we can understand, okay, they're coming down from Eretz Yisrael, they had a long trip to Mitzrayim, they need to freshen up, they need a spare set of clothing. But what was Yosef giving them? He was giving them the lesson of the clothing. He was telling his brothers, if you want to survive in Mitzrayim, you need to remember the lesson of the clothing. You need to remember that you need to harness your physical body and your desires and let the panemius, what you're really meant to be, your neshama elokit, shine through. And it's interesting to note that what was one of the merits that Bnei Yisrael had that they were able to leave Mitzrayim? Was they didn't change their lavush, lo shinu malbusham, their clothing. They stayed true to the lesson of the clothing. And in that way, they were able to prevail in the harsh gullus, and they were able to come out on top because they remembered the lesson of the clothing. And when Yosef gives his brothers these suits, these special clothing, the pasuk adds, Ulivinyamin natan chamesh chalifot simlos. He gave all of his brothers one set of spare clothing, one extra suit. But when it came to Binyamin, he gave Binyamin five extra changes of clothing, five suits. Now, this seems bizarre. I mean, we think out of anybody, Yosef HaTzadik, he didn't remember what happened. A few parashios back, his father gave him a special garment, the Ksonas Pasim. All his brothers were jealous. They threw him in a pit. They sold him to Mitzrayim. He's looking to repeat history. You know, he didn't learn. Now he's showing favoritism to his brother. You know, maybe the same thing is going to happen to Binyamin. Why was he, what was this about? Creating more jealousy? The Gemara in Megillah, Tet Zayin Amar Aleph, tells us, Amar Rav Binyamin Bar Yefet, Ramaz lo sha'atid ben latzeit mimeno sheyetzei melefnei ha-melech b'chamisha levushei malchus, shene amar, Umordechai yatza milifnei hamelech bilvush malchus tcheles v'chor v'ateres zahav gdola v'tachbutz v'argaman v'ir shushan tzahala v'samecha. These five extra suits symbolize the child, the descendant that would come out of Binyamin, that would also wear five special garments, namely Mordechai in the story of Purim, which is like the pasuk that we read at the beginning, how Mordechai went out in this, in the, all these beautiful garments. Yosef gave Binyamin an extra five sets of clothing to create an impression for the future generation, for the generation of Mordechai, for Binyamin's descendants, for to be able to remember this lesson of clothing, specifically during the hardship, during the challenging times of Galus Paras Umadai, of the story with Achashverosh and Haman. The Maharal and Netzach Yisrael, I'm sorry, in Netzach Yisrael explains that Adam had the Maila of Levush. And he writes, Ukashim Sheyaras Sheyresh Yaakov Ma'alat Hatzelem Shehu Eloki Kach Yeresh Esav Ma'alat HaLevush. Just like Yaakov inherited this Maila, this value of the Tzelem, of the image of God, Shehu Eloki, which is something godly, Esav inherited this Maila, this added attribute of levush, of clothing. Ki malat hatzelem hu malat elokit, umalat halavush eino elokit. Rak kavod v'yakar nerei le'inayim shemar el atzmo bilvush hadar. Aval ein ze malat elokit, rak kavod v'chashivut v'davar ze yirash esav. Because the mila that Yaakov got, the mila of the tzelem, is godliness. There's something there. But the mila of the levush, of the clothing, is not godly, but it's rather, it's just kavod and yakar, it's glorious, it's honor, it's splendor, and it looks, ooh, wow, for the eyes to see. Everyone passes by and says, wow, did you see that? How amazing, how glorious, how much splendor, etc. And you look like you're so important, but there's nothing there, there's no godliness there. It's just kavod and chashivas, and that's what Esav inherited. So Yaakov received and inherited the Tzelem, which is godly, and Esav inherited the Levush, which is external honor and splendor. It looks very important, but there's no godliness there. And then it's exactly this dichotomy that we see so clearly in the Megillah. Haman, a descendant of Esav, he inherited the external aspect of Malbush, right? When Achashverosh asks him, Haman, what should the king do for someone he wants to honor? Haman could have answered anything in the world. Money, power, etc. And what does he say? Oh, it's simple. Wear the king's clothing. Ride on the king's horse. All of these external status items. Designer names. Designer, you know, fancy cars. That's what's important. You want to give someone honor? That's what you have to do. Because in Haman's worldview, the worldview of the Levush, that's what brought honor. That was what was important to him. But Mordechai, on the other hand, he was the descendant of Yaakov and Binyamin. He inherited the Tzelem, the godly and the spiritual aspect of the clothing. And with this, he was able to harness his physical desire. Mordechai did not attend Achashverosh, his party, when so many people did, and they went after, you know, their taiva, their desires. And ultimately, what happened in the end? He revealed the godliness, the tzelem within him, by getting, in the end, this special, glorious clothing. And we see a similar concept with Esther. The Pasuk Perek Hei, Pasuk Aleph, tells us, as Esther's going and preparing to go before Achashverosh, the Pasuk says, Vatilbash Esther Malchus. That Esther wore royalty. Now, normally, when we would try to say that someone's, you know, getting dressed into royal clothing, we would say maybe that she wore big day malchus. She wore royal clothing. But the pasuk just says vatalbash Esther malchus, that Esther wore royalty. Because a regular person can wear royal clothing, right? How many times? I mean, every other girl is going to dress up like Queen Esther. Does that mean that because they put on the clothing, it means that they are actually royalty? You know, we can parade down the street dressed however we like. It doesn't necessarily mean that that person is royal. But Esther herself was a Malka. Who she was as a person, she was royalty. And therefore, we say that she wore Malchus. She wore royalty. Because clothing is something that can change. You know, you can dress up like a queen, you can dress up like however you like. But to show that Esther is really shayach to royalty, she herself is royal. Be'etzem, who she is inside, her essence is royalty. The pasuk doesn't use the word big day because her external reflects her internal perfectly. On the outside, she is malchus, and it perfectly reflects who she is on the inside as a malka, as a queen, as royalty. But on the flip side, there's a danger with clothing, that it's only the external and it doesn't really reflect anything internal. And we see that with Ahasuerus. Just because you put on an outfit does not mean that you are that person. Ahasuerus thought, oh, if I'm put on the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, I'm going to be somebody special. Everyone's going to look at me and say, wow, look at that King Ahasuerus. He's something important. Look what he's wearing. He's wearing the clothing of the Kohen Gadol. But he didn't realize that just when you put on the clothing, it's something external. If it's not who you are inside it, you can dress like however you like. It doesn't mean that you are that person or that it brings you more honor or respect. In fact, the words beged and me'il, beged is clothing, me'il is like a cloak, can also be read as begida and me'ila, which means rebellion or treachery. Like a person who walks around the hospital wearing a white coat and a stethoscope. You know, if he didn't go to medical school and he didn't go through residency, he's just an imposter. You can put on whatever you like on the outside, but unless the beged, the garment, is reflecting who you are as a person, that you actually went through the schooling and that you actually know what you're talking about, you're simply an imposter. It's not a beged, but it's a begida. It's a rebellion or it's treacherous. So people can think that clothing is a goal in of itself, and therefore it can create the opposite effect. Instead of covering the body and harnessing the physical and allowing the pnimius, the inside, to really shine through, the body itself becomes looked at and admired. In fact, the Ksav Sofer tells us that this is actually what Ahasuerus wanted to prove when he called Vashti before him naked. He wanted to show it's not the clothing that makes Vashti beautiful. Her body itself is beautiful. And therefore, you don't need the distraction of the clothing because look at my wife and look how beautiful she is. And this is the koach that Esav inherited. This is the Golas of Edom. It's the big billboards and selling us chashivos. Right? You want to be important? I'll tell you how you be important. You have to wear designer names. You got to drive a nice fancy car. And we're told that if you have all these things, all these status items, and you wear this, and you look like that, then you're going to be successful. Then you're going to be important. It's the external body that's lauded and desired, and it often makes us forget and neglect the pnimius, the tselem of Yaakov, the godliness that's within ourselves. And so on Purim, what do? To remind ourselves that the external is really a facade and it changes. To remind ourselves that this external glory of Esav is just on the outside. It's not really who we are. We try to cover up the outside and we reveal the pnimius. We reveal who we are inside. We dress up. We wear masks. We show that it's not just about the outside. It's not just about the brand names. It's not just about the designer clothing and the status items. But there's much more to who we are. We have the tselem of Yaakov. We have the Tzelem Eloki. We have this godliness inside ourselves that we need to reveal and reflect in who we are. And so what else do we do on Purim? We drink wine. Because we say, Nichnas Yayin Yatsa Sod. When a person drinks wine, the truth comes out. The real person comes out. Because that's what we're trying to emphasize on Purim. It's not about the external. We're trying to show B'nai Yisrael is a nation about the internal. We're about the tselem. We're about the godliness. When we look at the Megillah, when we look at Amalek, when we look at Edom around us, they're all saying it's about the outside. It's about the crown. It's about the horse. It's about the king's clothing. We say no. There's much more to us. And that's really what brings us honor. It's the inside. It's who we are as people. It's the godliness that we try to reveal. And it's because of this concern that we can mistake the clothing for a goal in of itself that we have many mitzvos connected to clothing, whether it's the big day kahuna, whether it's tzitzit, whether it's shatness. The goal, as the Torah tells us, specifically of tzitzit, is v'lo taturu acharei levavchem v'acharei einechem, that you should not go after your hearts and after your eyes. It's to remind ourselves that we need to cover and harness the body, not to go after our physical desires, after our eyes and after our hearts, because that's the purpose of the clothing, to harness the physical desires. That's what we learned from Adam HaRishon and Chava when they sinned. All of a sudden they realized, oh my gosh, I'm naked. I went after my body and now I have to harness it. I have to control it. And I can't allow myself just to go after my eyes or my heart. And it's based on this that we can gain a deeper understanding to the Mishnah and Avos that states, Kol yamai gadalti bein hachachamim v'lo matzati laguf tov el ashtika. All my life I grew up among the chachamim, among the wise people, and I never found for myself a better thing than silence. So we normally, on a basic level, we understand this is that it's not good to talk so much. It's good to be quiet. Bite your tongue every now and again. You know, you don't always have to be the loudest in the room. But I think we could read it in another way, that the best thing for the body is to silence it. Not to let the body make all the noise. Not to let ourselves think that the outside, the lavush, is the most important thing. We have to silence the body. We have to harness the physical and the physical desires and allow the inside to shine through. And the only way we can do that is when we silence the guf. When we silence our physical body and our desires. And it's with this in mind that we can better understand the concept of tznius. The Torah gives us guidelines about dignified dress in order to deflect attention from our superficial appearance so that others can see the real person we are. The Torah tells us that the clothing of the Kohen should be lekavod ulitiferes, for honor and for glory, for splendor. The Torah is teaching us that the type of clothing we wear speaks volumes about our honor and our glory as human beings created in the image of God. Tznius is not a man-woman issue, but a human dignity issue. And it's for the same reason that the Gemara tells us that a Talmud Chacham, he can't go out with stained clothing, because it's not reflecting who he is as a person. He's a well-learned person, he's a respected person, and therefore it's not respectful for such a person to go out in such clothing. So the challenge of clothing is to know how to wear the clothes, to try to recreate the balance between the body and the soul. On the one hand, to hide the body, to harness the physicality, and on the other hand, to reveal the inner aspect and the dignity of the person. And it's based on this understanding of clothing that we can understand the imagery that Bnei Yisrael is the adornment of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is embarrassed when she is desolate, or when other nations live there, because she seems like any other city. A collection of neighborhoods, streets, gardens, buildings. But in reality, Yerushalayim is so much more than just a landscape. Yerushalayim is a godly city. Yerushalayim is a holy city. And what is the glorious clothing that testifies to Yerushalayim's inner essence? What shows the world that Yerushalayim is just not just another city, but there's something more to it? It's a spiritual place. It's a godly place. That adornment is Bnei Yisrael. Kulam nikbitzu ba'ulach, ki kulam ka'adi talbishi utiksharim kikala. When Bnei Yisrael inhabit Yerushalayim, the inner essence of Yerushalayim is revealed. When Bnei Yisrael are in Yerushalayim, it's like a kala wearing a ring. It shows that there is a relationship, there is a connection, there is much more here, there is much more to this city, and in fact Yerushalayim is a godly city. And therefore, Bnei Yisrael are called the glorious clothing of Yerushalayim. In fact, it's interesting, the Gemara in Shabbos asks, you know, why is it that when the Talmidei Chachamim were in Bavel, they wore, you know, a special and nicer clothing than they normally wore? And the Gemara answers, in Aramaic, but I'll translate it into the Hebrew, Bimkomi Shmi, Lo Bimkomi Malbushi. Why is it that they wear special clothing, more nicer clothing, more dignified clothing when they were in Bavel than they were in Eretz Yisrael? Because in a place that I'm known, Bimkomi Shmi, my name is enough. You tell, you know, if we're in Teaneck, if we're in Fairlawn, and you say, oh, Rebecca Belazon, so my name is enough. You know, probably people have, you know, heard who I am, especially, you know, so then they don't have to say, oh, she does this, and she's this, and et cetera, et cetera. They know about me, and I'm sure the same with you. When you're around people who know you, you don't have to give a whole explanation of who you are. When you say your name is enough. But so when the Talmidei Chachamim were in Eretz Yisrael, people knew who they were. Their name was enough. Lo bimkomi, but in a place that I am not known, malbushi. How, in a place that I'm not known, what is it that expresses my inner essence? What is it that tells people who I am, what kind of person I am? My clothing. And therefore, when the Talmidei Chachamim were in Bavel, they had to wear extra special dignified clothing to show all the people around them who they were. They were Talmidei Chachamim, whereas in Eretz Yisrael, all you had to do was say their name, and people would know who they were. And so I think that specifically now, during Adar, when we're about to go and read this Megillah, this struggle between Amalek and Bnei Yisrael, between Yaakov and Esav, we need to take to heart the lesson of clothing, harnessing our physical desires, while at the same time revealing our pnimius, our neshama. And I think that we can allow the Purim story to remind us that clothing is a lot more than designer names and the perfect outfit. It's a lot more than driving the right car and having those designer shoes. If we're able to harness our desires like Mordechai HaTzadik was able to do, and allow our neshama and our true tafkid to shine through, we will be able to truly wear royal garments like Mordechai was. And hopefully, then we'll merit the ultimate salvation, where Bnei Yisrael can once again clothe Yerushalayim in her glorious garments.